Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. If you'd like to follow along, we're taking the bulk of our message from Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. We're looking at verses 23 through 32, which Kurt read earlier. There is a number of wonderful messages in just these 10 verses. And then I'd like to point out a few New Testament passages that go right along with it. It's amazing how so many of God's messages is found cover to cover in the Bible, not just an isolated situation. But starting in verse 23, it starts off with a question. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? This is the answer right here to a question that so many of our religious friends have. A concept that a lot of people have. If God is so loving, why does he let people, why is he going to condemn so many people to hell? It's answered right here. God is saying, do you think I enjoy condemning people rather than them turning from their ways and living? You think that's what I enjoy? God has to do that. Because if he didn't, he would not be just. And God is, if he's anything, he's just. He has to be just. He is God. He goes on to say, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness of which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them, he shall die. It's on him, not on me. If a righteous man, and I tell you, this is speaking to us as much as it was to the people in Ezekiel's time. If a righteous person who does good winds up turning and going the other way and leaving God behind, leaving him in the rearview mirror, that's why he's going to die, because of his actions. Goes on to say, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is it not my way that is fair and your ways which are not fair? You got it backwards. You got to turn it around. You're saying it this way, it's this way. When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies. Again, when a wicked man turns from the wickedness which he has committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. I'm reminded what Paul said, let a man examine himself. And that's what's saying here. When a wicked man, when a man is caught up in sin, or woman, when a person is caught up in sin and considers it, realizes, examines himself, sees it for what it is, and turns away from it, that's called repentance. Jesus told us in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's not a new concept. It's repentance is found throughout the Bible. In our Sunday morning Bible class with Preston, we're looking at the minor prophets right now in Amos. How many times did it say all the things God has done for them and the question, yet they will not return to me? After all this, yet they will not return. They have that option. No one's holding a gun to their head. Yet, the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not fair. O house of Israel, is it not my ways which are fair and your ways which are not fair? Don't we encounter that with people? People's attitudes. Tried to find a picture of a bratty kid. That's how I picture God viewing us. It's not fair. I want it my way. It ain't your way to have. I'm God, he says. My ways are the fair ones, not yours. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that iniquity will not be your ruin. Because you're on the path of ruin. Turn, repent. And then the last two verses in this passage, cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. You can't change yourself and have the same heart and the same eyes, the way you look at things, the same spirit of the way you've always done things. You've got to change. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. This passage is as straightforward and as black and white as any passage I've seen in the Bible. Most of them are. But this is as clear as day to me. Maybe I'm seeing it wrong, but it seems pretty clear. The message of this is don't blame God. repent or perish. Do it my way, not your way. I'd like to look at a couple of verses in the New Testament just to kind of drive the point home. We could stop right here. But I'd like to look at some verses in the New Testament to show this message is from cover to cover of the Bible. In Romans 6:23, Paul tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is saying the same thing. Make the choice. The wages of sin is death, or you can accept the free gift of God. Kind of a no-brainer. I know I'm not the brightest guy around. I'm smart enough to see that. I can figure that one out without help. The Apostle Peter says in chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. How long-suffering was he toward you? I know he was long-suffering toward me, just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. Wait, when's he going to figure it out? How much longer is it? He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. What did he say in Ezekiel? Do you think I take pleasure? The fact that they're going to perish? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Acts 17:30, truly, these times of ignorance. How long did we live in a state of ignorance? These times of ignorance God overlooked. Didn't mean he accepted it. Didn't mean he condoned it. He, out of long suffering, he gave us time. God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Hebrews 10:26 goes right along with what it says in Ezekiel. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. God has given us a wonderful gift of his Son to cover our sins. But if we continue in that right path, in that same path, after we'd receive that knowledge of what to do, he's taken that sacrifice away. There no longer remains a sacrifice for those sins. Not only do we individually have a responsibility to stay on the right path, but we as brothers and sisters, and it made me think about this when Jeff was up here talking about what we do as brothers and sisters coming together, the power of the body. We sing praises together to God. We're doing it individually, but we sing praises to God. We pray together to God. He hears each one of us, but he hears us. That says a lot. we help each other. We're responsible for ourselves, but we're not going through it alone. We have each other to help us. And James 5, verses 19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Jesus said, "I don't want to go many weeks in a row without using this verse. I think we use it just about every week. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will." That's what God was saying in Ezekiel. If you were righteous and you quit being righteous, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And these people that Jesus are talking about, they say, well, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. You're not one of mine." We'll close up with John 6, verses 66 through 68. Again, Jeff, you almost preached the sermon when you were doing the Lord's Supper. You were in John 6. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." That's what was being talked about in Ezekiel. You used to be righteous, and you turned and started going back to iniquity. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else is there?" If we turn and quit following God's word, what else is there? And God in Ezekiel was saying, "Do I take pleasure that they should die?" They're making the choice. I've given them an option. That option is repent or perish. The lesson's yours. To me, it was as simple. I even could understand it. If this applies to you and you need to repent of sin in your life, if it's between you and God, repent right now from your seat. Have that pure heart. Have that pure mind. Have that new heart and spirit, as was said. If your sin is public, involves others, by all means, repent publicly. Turn, repent, or perish. If you've been studying and realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism, we have, that invitation is always available. It's not just right now at 11:30. It's available anytime, 24/7. We don't make appointments. We don't schedule it on the third week of every month. No. Whenever you immediately, the Ethiopian eunuch saw water, realized, "Philip, there's water. What keeps me from being baptized?" "Nothing. Not a thing. Let's do it." Whatever your need, if you need prayers, anything, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation, and your needs will be addressed. Let's stand and sing.